The Apostle Paul writes to the Roman Church, "Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and whatever other command there may be, are summed up in this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law." I first visited Canada in 1995. I spent 10 days in Toronto. And in 1996, Catherine and I visited Vancouver for the first time. We visited again in 1998, 1999, and 2000. We finally moved here in 2001. And having grown up in crowded London, I loved the experience of the open space and the astonishing scenery. Today, the experience of open space and astonishing scenery are just as meaningful. I give thanks to God that we live in this country, and especially in this city. But let's see how much we know about Canada. What famous coffee and donut restaurant first opened? I could ask you when it first opened. I chose not to do that. First opened on May the 17th, 1964. Come on, what was it? Tim Hortons, thank you, that's good. I'll talk to you later, yes. What famous sporting trophy was first awarded in 1893? The Stanley Cup. And to which team? I'll talk to you later as well. Any ideas? Montreal. In the first service, this last question really confused a few people. We'll see what it does so today. What famous ginger-flavored beverage was first produced in 1904? Canada Dry, yes. Well done. Good. Now, as you can tell, I am English by birth. And in England, there is no equivalent for Canada Day. The English do not have a day in the calendar that signifies the formation of the nation or marks a day of national recognition. I suppose the English could sanctify July the 30th, 1966, when the English soccer team won the Soccer World Cup. We'll see what happens this year, but anyway. But there is nothing like Canada Day in England. And in all my years of being part of a local church in England, the national anthem was never sung in a service, and the national flag was never hung in the church sanctuary. That's just the context. So when Catherine and I moved to Canada, perhaps one of the greatest signs of cultural change that we experienced was to celebrate Canada Day. Now, Canadian historians still debate the precise reasons for the birth of this nation on what we call Confederation Day, July 1st, 1867. If you know your history, you'll know that the American Civil War had concluded 2 years earlier, and that meant that the United States had a well-equipped, well-trained, well-experienced standing army, and there was a concern that perhaps the United States might decide to venture north and annex parts of what they called British North America. Other historians suggest that Confederation came about because it was promoted by business leaders who were looking to capitalize on the economic benefits that political union, and particularly railroad magnates who were hoping to build a railroad across the country. They were hoping that union would facilitate those advances in business. But whatever the reasons are, one detail is certain. The new nation was called the Dominion of Canada. And Psalm 72, verse 8, a psalm that we read at the very beginning of this service, provided the inspiration. The verse says, "He will rule from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth." There was recognition that Canada was under the sovereignty of God. And Canada's national motto, as we all know, is "From sea to sea," directly taken from Psalm 72, verse 8. On this Canada Day, today, I want briefly to consider what Canada needs the church to be in 2018, or perhaps better, what God needs the church in Canada to be in 2018. What is our calling in this present day? We are called to live lives that show Christ. We are called to love one another. And we are called to deepen our relationships with Jesus. Now let's do a quick survey. Raise your right hand if you were born in Canada. Just look around. Okay, lower your hands. Now raise your right hand if you were not born in Canada. Isn't that amazing? Doesn't that show the diversity that we have in this nation? I think it's wonderful to see that. It truly is. In the early 20th century, most people emigrating to Canada were from Britain or the United States. That has changed. And we've just illustrated that. And it's delightful to see this change. But between 2006 and 2011, do you know what the fastest growing language in Canada was? Tagalog. Tagalog. Between 2006 and 2011, it was closely followed by Mandarin, and then Arabic, and then Hindi. But as we know, at the same time, religious belief has dwindled in this nation. A recent poll said that only 18% of Canadians have positive opinions about religious leaders. Nearly 40% of Canadians polled have low opinions of religious leaders. And as you may be aware, the recent decision by the Supreme Court of Canada against Trinity Western's proposed law school illustrates how religion is marginalized in our society. Now, we can lament these facts, but I prefer to see opportunity for the gospel to shine. When it's dark, the light shines more brightly. So how can we shine more brightly? By living lives that show Jesus Christ. For the last few years, my nephew has served as a member of the Royal Guard for Queen Elizabeth, Queen of Canada. Queen Elizabeth has strong Christian convictions. And my nephew recently told my parents of an occasion when he was on guard at Buckingham Palace in London, England. It was a long day of formal visits. And toward the end of the day, the Queen walked up to my nephew and a few of his fellow guardsmen. And she said that she had noticed that they had been on duty all day. She asked them when they had last had something to eat. And hearing that it was several hours before, she said this, "Come with me to the palace kitchens and I will cook you dinner." The Queen's example, as you might imagine, impressed those guardsmen. Her actions came from a heart that loves Jesus. And as Christians, we are to show Christ in how we live. In Romans 13, in the first 7 verses, just before the passage I read earlier, Paul explains what it means as Christians living in a secular society. How are we to do that? And the kinds of things that he highlights there are such as these. We're honest with our tax returns. We respect those in authority, regardless of their political party or political persuasion. We act fairly in business deals. We are examples in the workplace of diligence, loyalty, and trust. We could also add, though Paul doesn't mention them here specifically, but we could also quite legitimately add, we're faithful in our marriages. We're involved in our children's lives. We are respected among our neighbors. We are thoughtful and gracious with our words. And we are courteous and compassionate in our day-to-day relationships. As our lives shine for Jesus, those around us see the vibrancy and hope of the Christian faith. God needs the church in Canada in 2018 to live lives that show Christ. The second thing that God needs the church in Canada to do is to love one another. In Romans 13, verse 8, Paul says, "Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another." We've only to look at the news to see that our world is fraught with fracture and disunity and hurt and division. But Jesus can heal these divisions. Trust in the cross and in the resurrection of Jesus brings a new unity. It's a supernatural unity. And those of us who have identified with Christ know this in our own lives. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 says, "You are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household." The people of God transcend national and ethnic boundaries. Galatians 3:28, one of my favorite verses as I think about Trinity, says this, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." And Colossians chapter 3, verse 11 echoes the same sentiment. Paul writes there, "Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all." And as we raised our hands a few moments ago to indicate that some of us are born here, many of us were not born here, at Trinity we have a unique opportunity to show this kind of love that transcends barriers. Jesus changes things. And we demonstrate the difference that Jesus makes in our unity together. We love one another. But that has implications to say that. For us to say we love one another has implications. If Colossians 3 verse 11 reminds us that the divisions that we see in the world are overcome in Jesus, look at what Paul says immediately after that in Colossians 3, 12 and 13. He says this, Therefore, because we are united in Christ, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with one another and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Because we declare our unity in Christ, there are implications for how we live. So where there is division or conflict or unforgiveness, the church cannot be what God needs the church in Canada to be in 2018. And I urge us, each one of us, if there are those that we are in conflict with, perhaps even among us as a congregation, please put it right. Our witness in Canada depends upon it. We are called to love one another. Lastly, God needs the church in Canada to deepen our relationship with Jesus. Romans 13, verse 14, just a few verses beyond the ones I read earlier, says this: rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. As a Christian, my life finds its purpose and fulfillment in knowing God and turning away from sin and identifying with Jesus. And the Lord continues to remind me of this. Recently, a verse from Psalm 86 has challenged me. Psalm 86, verse 11 says this: teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart, that I may fear your name. It was that phrase, an undivided heart, that has really spoken into my life. The Lord is reminding me that what he desires is not half-hearted devotion, but full devotion. He's asking me to look up to him, to keep my eyes fixed upon him. Recently, at the daycare Father's Day celebration just over 2 weeks ago, I spoke about an umbrella. Now, when Catherine and I visited London a few years ago, I noticed a new style of umbrella. Now, the umbrella looked like any other umbrella would, but on the inside of the umbrella was printed a map of the city of London. It's a superb idea. When it rains, which is most of the time in London, rather than trying to open a map or go to the navigation app on your cell phone to figure out where you are and where you need to get to, all you have to do is look up at the inside of your umbrella. It's all you have to do. You remain dry, but you can also figure out where you are and where you need to get to. The Lord is reminding me to look up. To say, Lord, I see where I am now, my relationship with you, and I see where you want to take me. To look up. I see where we are as Trinity right now, and I see where you want to take us. An undivided heart. He is my first love, and I am committed to growing in his love day by day. I do not want to satisfy the desires of the sinful nature, as Paul reminds us not to do in Romans 13, verse 14. Instead, Jesus alone satisfies the desires and longings of my heart and your heart too. In a few moments, we're going to share communion. At this table, we remember that Jesus died and rose for us. But it's more than just an act of remembering. At this table, Jesus is the host and we are the guests. And as we share communion, it's as though we realign ourselves with God and his ways, with the gospel. As we once again reflect upon the fact that Jesus died for us and rose again from the dead for us. As we take the bread and the wine, it's as though, and the bread and the wine remain bread and wine, by the way, it's as though we absorb into our lives a renewed commitment to walk with Jesus. We clothe ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I encourage us, because there are moments once we have said the prayer, and as those who are offering the bread or the cup come to us. There are moments as we wait for that, or once we have received it, we're waiting to share it all together, where we can in quietness say, Lord, give me an undivided heart. Set my eyes on Jesus once again as I renew my commitment to you, as we rededicate our lives to Jesus Christ. God needs the church in Canada to deepen our relationship with Jesus. So on this 151st anniversary of the formation of this nation, all of us are grateful that we are here in Canada, wherever we may have been born. By God's grace and by God's power, may we live lives that show Christ. May we love one another, and may we deepen our relationship with Jesus. Amen. Pastor Lee, thank you.